Welcome back, everybody. We're live again on Insta. The link should be available if you want to join the Zoom directly to come in and chat and have a discussion with us. I have a wonderful guest with us today. Shugufta is very well experienced, and you know, we had an excellent talk last week with her. And then I said, let's get her on and let's get her to share what she's, you know, all about. Today she's going to talk to us about the four bodies of self, which, you know, talks about the physical, the emotional, the mental, as well as the energetic. And it's something that applies to everybody. It's not just for one segment or one population, or whether you're a student or a mom. It's something we can all make use of. So Shugufta, I'll let you introduce yourself a little bit better than I have, and then let's just carry on the conversation there.
Right. Thank you, Ali. Thank you so much for that. And hello, everybody, whoever is watching. My name, like Ali said, is Shugufta. I'm a people and parent coach. So I work with parents to relieve them of the stress that they feel, you know, while raising up their children, all the health, developmental, and behavioral issues that they face with their kids. And with people, of course, supporting them to overcome their life challenges to live a better, more fulfilling life. So that's a little bit about me. Yes. Talking about the topic for today, coming to the topic for today, before we actually start as to what the four bodies are and how does it affect or influence us in what ways, it is important first to understand that our natural state is one of wellness and wholeness. And our natural state is one of balance, right? So look at nature. So when we look at nature, it is so very well balanced. You have the day which turns into the night, and then you have the night which so effortlessly flows into the day. And then also look at the different seasons. So you have the dry season and you have the wet season. And also you have the autumn, which then turns into spring and so on and so forth. And you look at the entire life cycle. You look at the food chain. Everything is so well balanced. And going beyond our world. So our world, as we know, is part of the Milky Way, which is again a galaxy. And then there are so many galaxies out there, and you know, which forms the part of the entire universe that we have. So everything is so balanced out there. And it's the same thing with us. We are not unique at all. We are part of this entire matrix, and we're just a very, very, very tiny bit of it. And so if everything is so balanced, is there any other way of our being rather than being balanced ourselves? And so balance is our very natural state of being. Now, the four bodies is a very, very holistic approach to wellness, where it focuses on the importance of wholeness. And at the same time, it also, you know, stresses importance of the interrelatedness of the individual parts. So it is a very, very holistic approach where it says the whole is important, and so is its, you know, the sum of its parts, and also stresses on the interrelationship with each of them. Now, going further, we are very, very multi-dimensional beings, you know. On one side, we have the rational side. On the other side, we are irrational. Then we have the conscious. We also have the unconscious. We analyze things, and at the same time, we also have our instincts and we have our intuitions. We are very intellective. We use our mental capabilities. And at the same time, we also are very connected to our emotions and our feelings. We have a logical side. And so we also have a very, very creative side to us. So the four bodies is, you know, it tries to encompass all of these qualities that we have to create a whole, right? So all these different qualities that we have, these multidimensional aspects to our being. So what the four bodies does is it brings it together as a whole. And because it is all interconnected as well, even if there is a misuse or an overuse or in, you know, one part is being ignored, it totally sets the other bodies off balance. And that is the reason why, you know, so many of us feel feel, you know, out of whack. You know, we really don't understand what's happening, because as, you know, as a part of this entire matrix of things, we are actually supposed to be totally balanced. We feel really well when each part of us is like in a balanced state. But that usually doesn't happen because, you know, we are more focused into one area. We kind of neglect the other area. And so there's a natural imbalance happening there. And that is what, you know, kind of just throws us off the guard. So what are these four bodies then that we are talking about? It is the physical body. The second is the emotional body, when we have the mental body. And then we also have the spiritual or the energetic body, as some people call it as. And the, you know, the thing is that out of these four bodies that we have, it's only the physical body that is tangible, that we can see, that we can touch, you know, it's that we can actually experience. And all the other three bodies that we have are really intangible. We can't really see them, but yes, they are there. And so if there's any kind of imbalance happening in any of the other bodies that we have, it will express itself, or it will make its imbalance known through this tangible body that we have. So yes, that is where also the interconnectivity between all of the four bodies comes in. So we have this physical body, and then we also have the three other bodies, which are intangible, at the same time interconnected to each other, wherein one affects the other. And because the other three are intangible and yet ephemeral, but if there is an imbalance happening in either of it, we see the effects happening here in our body. So then let's go ahead and see how each one of us influences us and what is the natural state of balance there. First, talking about the physical body, the first one that we have. Now, the physical body, as the name suggests, is you know, the skin and everything underneath the skin that we have, right? So everything underneath the skin, everything between the ears. So you would have your nerves, your arteries, your veins, your organs, your tissues. Talking about the eight body systems that we have, like the respiratory system, we have the circulatory system, the digestive system, the skeletal system. So all the systems that form part of the body. So everything that is very, very physical, that forms your physical self. Now, what is the natural state of balance for the physical body? The natural state of balance for the physical body is where you have a nice state of wellness. You know, you have a healthy body where there is no aches, there are no pains, all your organs, all your body systems are functioning to its maximum, to its optimal state. All your vitamins, all your minerals are well balanced. You know, all the body systems are doing their work wonderfully well, and you're feeling nice and healthy in your body. That's the natural state of being. That's the balanced state. And what really happens if you are, say, underbalanced in that body state? So, you know, we're taking up each body individually. So when you are underbalanced in the body state, the obvious thing is that, yes, you don't feel well. Your organs are not functioning well. Your body feels less than okay. There would be acidity. There would be toxicity. We fall sick very often. Our immunity becomes low. The absorption and the elimination is not happening well. So those are the things that happen when we are a little underbalanced in the physical body of ours. Also, you know, at times you feel a little tightness, a little heaviness, a little stiffness in your skeletal structure. So those are all things that tell you that you are not, or you're a little underbalanced in your physical body. And what happens when you're overbalanced? Well, in a state of overbalance, there is a lot of emphasis put on the physical aspect, you know, a lot of emphasis put on the strength, a lot of emphasis put on the physical beauty, on the anti-aging. People also, you know, have a doubt of the body to self-heal itself. And there's a lot of reliance on the external factors. like medications, like surgeries, like steroids, like Botox injections and stuff like that. So this is where there is an overbalance in the physical body, where there's a lot of, you know, focus and emphasis on looking good, feeling good, that sort of thing. And also, we have a tendency to then ignore the natural aspects of how to keep our body happy. We are more dependent on the external factors. Now, this physical body that we have, you know, we need to fuel it. We need to give it the right kind of food, because that is the one thing that it requires. And besides food to keep this body in a very optimal state, there are other things also. Food is not the only fuel we need, right? So there is food. Then there is also the kind of water that we are taking in. There's also the air quality. There's also the sunlight, which is required. So we also need sunlight to synthesize vitamin D. We know that. We've learned this in school, that the sunlight is very important. So are we supplying our body with the right kind of food and the right kind of fuel to keep it going? Also, we all know about the energy vortexes that we have in the body, or the chakras that we have, which sources the universal life force energy from the environment around. That is also a fuel that we are supplying to our body. And these chakras, so we know the basic seven chakras that we have, and the chakras, it's very imperative that we keep the energy centers of our body also very clean, because that is where it's drawing the energy from the environment and supplying it to the organs, so that the organs are now functioning at their optimal self. So then all these things are very, very important to keep the physical body in balance, right? So the food that you eat, the water that you take, are you going out in the environment enough? Are you kind of taking care of your body in the right way that it needs to be taken care of, or else there would be an imbalance here.
Now, here, I'm sorry to cut you off right there. So we're talking about a very like holistic approach. We're not just talking about, you know, go to the gym or eat the right food. Because, you know, a lot of times when we talk to somebody that, oh, it's important to maintain your physical health because it connects with everything, they generally kind of hit these two and they say, well, you should be fit, or, you know, at least do like an hour of a walk, or like, you know, something. And then you make sure you have like good food. But I never thought that, you know, talking about the physical would also encompass, you know, more things than just the food and exercise.
Yes, definitely, Anli. So food is, of course, one part of it, because what we eat is, you know, how our body is the energy that we are putting in. So that's where eating the right kind of foods is very important. We know that we should avoid all the bad stuff, the junk food, the carbonated foods, you know, the artificial sweeteners and stuff like that, because that is the junk, that is the gunk that you're putting into your body, right? And besides the food and the water, so there are other things as well, which is about the sunlight that you need, right? And then also the energy that you take in from the ground, from nature. And that's why you feel really nice when you go out in nature, when you walk barefoot on the ground, when you go to the beach, and, you know, because these are, you're connecting to the nature elements over there, and you're drawing in that energy from the ground itself. So that is also a ground energy that you require. And then again, so you have these chakras, we know about it, right? So all these seven major chakras that we have, and how important it is to keep or clear these chakras also, so that it's drawing. So these are energy centers which draws in the universal life force energy, and it's connected to the organs within, and it supplies that energy to the organs to keep it running, you know, well. So it's not only about the food and water. So there are a lot of other things that go into keep yourself physically fit and active. And if there's an overemphasis on that, like, you know, a lot of steroids that people take in, a lot of, dependence on other external factors, that's where you are overbalanced, or there's an overactivity happening in the physical body. Yeah. So that was about the physical. Now let's move on to the emotional body. What is the emotional body? Now, the emotional body, as the name suggests, is related to our emotions and feelings. And like I said earlier, that, you know, because these emotional, mental, and the spiritual body is intangible, you just cannot see it, but they would be connected to your bodies in some way. So if there is an imbalance happening in any of the other bodies, you would definitely then notice it in some way in your body here as well. So the emotional body is related enough to this physical body in terms of the hormones that we release. You know, we have the feel-good hormones, we have the stress hormones. So all these different hormones that that come into play is all related to the emotional body again. And the emotional body also would represent our relationship with things around us, with people around us, how we interpret the world around us. So there is something that's happening over there. And literally, how are we kind of, you know, emoting to those things that are around us? And what is the natural state of balance for an emotional body? What really happens when you are in balance? Well, you know, you're in control of your emotions. You feel very empathetic. You feel very inclusive. There is no self-judgment. There's no judgment about others. You are in charge. Your hormones in your body are well balanced. So there's no imbalance of hormones happening there. Your all your cortisols, your insulin, your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone, your adrenaline. Also, all these are hormones that are released in our body. And that's like literally connected to your emotional body. So if you are in a state of balance, your hormones are also in a state of balance. There's no imbalance happening there. And we know what happens when our hormones go off balance, right? There would be things that would be seen in our body then, because the effects will always be noticed in the body. And what happens when you are underbalanced in the emotional body? Well, when we are underbalanced is when we don't feel connected to our own emotions and feelings, where we feel that, the kind of sentences that we would use for other people is, he's so cold, he has no feelings at all. How can he be so cold-hearted? You know, these are sentences that we've come across, and that's what's really happening. So somebody who is underbalanced in the emotional field or in the emotional body, they would find it very difficult to connect to their emotions and feelings. They would just feel very numb all the time. You know, things which actually are supposed to make you happy, it just doesn't affect them. They don't see happiness in those little situations. And also things that, you know, are supposed to be sad, it doesn't really move them at all. You know, they are not connected to their emotions and feelings at all, which is also not a good thing. I mean, emotions are there for you to feel them. They are there for a purpose. They're there for a reason. And what really happens when somebody is like overbalanced in the emotional body? Well, that is where, you know, we have all these issues of, you know, your emotions being all over the place comes from, where you're not able to be in control of your emotions, the stress, the anxiety, and it leads to depression. That's where, you know, when we talk about emotional intelligence, when we really are not able to manage the emotions well, we have also overbalance or overbalance being in the emotional would mean that you are, you know, being aggressive. So that's what really happens. You're not in charge of your emotions at all. So how do you kind of balance it out? You need to release your emotions. You need to be in charge of your emotions. You know, the reason that people are really not able to kind of take charge of their emotions is because, first of all, they think or they believe that negative emotions are bad for us. Yeah. And whenever they feel stress or whenever they feel anger, they try to kind of push it away because they feel that it's not a good thing to be. But as like I said, you know, anything that's existing has its purpose. It's there for a reason. So instead of trying to, you know, push it away, because we know that whatever we resist, it'll persist. And the more we try to kind of push it away, it's going to bounce back. It's going to come back to us with so much more force, right? So then rather than trying to push it away, trying to say that this thing is not good for me. And then again, you know, whenever you are in a state where you're not in control of your emotions, your kind of emotions are overriding you, you would sense it in your body again. What happens to us, right? When we're feeling stressed or when we're feeling the pressure, we're feeling not so good, the negative emotions. It could be hurt. It could be anger. It could be, there are so many negative emotions that we have. And this definitely affects our bodies as well, where you feel the tightness happening. You feel a lot of pressure on your shoulders, a lot of stiffness in your joints and stuff like that. So it again shows its effects in the body. And one of the good ways of kind of balancing it out, I would say, rather than kind of, you know, rejecting those emotions that you feel, it's more about just being accepting of them. You know, it is, it's like a wave building up. So I'm sure we've all seen how waves build up in the ocean. Yeah, it's kind of just kind of keeps building up, 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 up and up. And it reaches its crest. And then once it reaches that point, reaches its peak, it'll just collapse into a soft wave. You know, so that is what we need to do with our emotions as well. And whenever you have a surge of feeling, which is feeling a little uncomfortable, it could be anger, it could be resistance of any kind, you know, it could be anything that is making you feel uncomfortable. And when there's a negative emotion happening, you would feel it in your body, you would feel it in some part of your body. So rather than trying to suppress it, rather than trying to ignore it, or trying to kind of, you know, repress it, because the more you kind of suppress it, eventually one day it is going to express itself out. And that is what really happens, isn't it? So it all these diseases that we have, we see, you know, blood pressure, diabetes, cancers, these different ailments that we have. What is all of that? It is nothing but suppressed emotions now expressing themselves, right? So instead of trying to push it away or not acknowledge it or let the emotions get better of you, I would like to, you know, just suggest one simple technique to all our viewers here, what you can really do when you're feeling a surge of emotion coming up. So are we ready to do this? Yeah, it's a very simple one. And I would definitely want you to practice it along with me right now so that you understand what it is. So, sorry, did you say something?
Yeah, no, sounds good. Please go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So let's do this. Let's just do a simple thing to see how do we manage a negative emotion that's coming there. So I would want all of you to just keep your hand here on the heart and the collarbone. So you can just follow me. Just do this. All right. And closing your eyes, just bring into your awareness. So taking a nice deep breath in. Take a nice deep breath in and bring into your awareness a time, a situation where you felt, you know, something that made you uncomfortable. It could be an emotion of anger. It could be guilt. It could be anything that made you a little uncomfortable that you wished was not there. It made you, you know, it could be stress, any of it. Just welcome it here. And just say to that emotion that you're welcome. You're so welcome. And you're allowed here. I allow you. I welcome you. You're so welcome. All of the times that I've ever felt like this before, I welcome all of it. I allow all of it. I claim all of it. You're mine just as much as I'm yours. And you're really, really welcome. You're so welcome. And you keep welcoming it. You keep welcoming it and you keep allowing it. And you keep giving it your love. You keep embracing it. You realize that it's no longer there. And it's given way to something else. And see what's here now. See what's here now. What are you feeling now? And if it's another emotion that's showing up, welcome that too. Really welcome that too. Allow it. Embrace it. Give it all your love. Just let it have you. Let it do what it wants to do with you. And when you've really allowed it, when you've really welcomed it, you will notice that it just begins to fall away into a real nice softness. Just allowing it, just welcoming it. And then see again what's here. And you keep doing this till you come to a state of either peace or love and a calm feeling. Beautiful. Yeah? So that's what you do. Are you all here? Okay, wonderful. So
that's very nice. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Yeah. So instead of pushing away those emotions, because once you push it away, it's almost always going to come back to you. And it's going to come back to you with a force which is even stronger, which is even more. And so rather just kind of welcome it. And the minute you start welcoming it, the minute you start accepting it, the minute you start allowing it, you know, you'll see that it rises. It rises just like the wave. It'll reach its peak and then it'll just slowly, you know, dissolve and melt away and it'll give way to something else. So this is really, really useful for people who are, you know, dealing with emotions and they really don't know what to do when these strong emotions come forth. Yeah, so that's about the emotional body. Then moving forward to the next one, which is the mental body that we have. Now,
just quickly going back to the emotional part, and what you talked about, there was, of course, the whole, how we have the neurochemicals inside our body and how those will impact us. And then, you also talked about how we have environmental variables and then, what happens in our lives. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, would the key takeaway be that, we should not ignore them or push them away, but to allow them to be and allow ourselves to feel in those emotions and kind of work through them?
Absolutely, Ali. Yes, absolutely, Ali. That's exactly what it is. You don't push them away. You kind of allow them. You kind of deal with them. You release them. Because if you do not release them, these emotions get stuck in your body. These emotions get stored in your body. And then that is what, ultimately it will manifest as these diseases that we then see. Yeah. Also, I said it's related to your hormones, right? So there's a whole imbalance of hormones happening there then, which disrupts your physical body again, right? So that's how it's all interconnected.
It's all interconnected also. Wow.
And interrelated, yeah. So the best way to keep your body, emotional body in balance is to not push away those emotions, is to allow them, to embrace them, to welcome them. And when you really do that, when you acknowledge it, when you work with it, when you make those emotions your friend and you work with it, you will see that, they're really not as bad at all. Yeah. So that's about the emotional being. Then moving on to your mental body. Now, what is your mental body? It's really the intellect. It's all about the thoughts that we keep having all the time. It's our rational self. It's our the logical self that we have, the analytical self that we have, the willpower that we call it as, the decision-making, deciding what I want to have for food today, what I want to wear to work today. And again, how we process and interpret all the information that we get. Now, we do know that we are always taking in information from the surrounding, and we kind of process it. So this becomes like our mini processor that we have here, the mini computer. So we're always taking in information from the surrounding to our senses. And we are processing it internally over here, using our mental body. And that is how we assign meaning to the different situations, right? We all know that we've been to movies with our friends, and though we are watching the movie at the same time, and it's the same movie and we're watching it at the same time, but still when we come out of the movie theater, we would have taken different things, it would mean one thing to one person. It would mean something totally different to the other person. And so it is with so many other situations, right? Like what we said, the two sides of the same coin. One person would see it one way, the other person would see it the other way. And why is this happening? Because it's the same situation, it's the same thing, but the way we process the information is different for different people, right? This is also where our focus, our clarity is coming from. So the key element for our mental body is the thoughts. And we also know that our thoughts create our reality. So that's the big picture over here. Then again, what is how are we supposed to be, or how is the mental body when it is balanced? Well, when it is really balanced, we feel good. Again, we have a lot of clarity of thought. We are interpreting things in the way that is beneficial for us. And this is more about the self-talk, right? So when I talk about your interpretation, how you're kind of processing the information, this is more about the self-talk that we are having. And what really happens when somebody is underbalanced, they would have a lot of mental fog. There would be a lot of confusion happening here. Also a sense of, the self-talk would be in a way where we have low self-esteem, where we put a sense of low self-worth on ourselves. Your ideas get lost very, very quickly. So that is a state of where you are underbalanced. And what really happens when you are overbalanced in this body is where somebody would be like, thinking all the time, like overthinkers that we say all the time. They would be like just in the mind, and they create worrisome situations which is not even there by their overthinking, right? And these people are also people who are overdriven, overambitious, to the point of being egocentric, to the point of being narcissistic sometimes, so that is what's happening when you are really being overbalanced in that body. Yeah. And then how do you kind of work on creating the balance in your mental body? Well, self-talk is very, very important here. How are you talking to yourself? What meanings are you assigning to what's really happening around you? Because all of that is going to create the mental awareness. So we do understand this, that it's the thoughts that create our reality. And we also have heard a lot about the mind-body connection, right? So what is the mind-body connection? It's what you think is what you feel, and what you feel is what your body is also going to experience. And the reverse is also true. So it's got to do a lot with kind of how you're talking to yourself. The self-talk is really, really important here. And then what is the way then to talk to yourself all the time? In the positive, being very, very mindful all the time of the things that you're talking to yourself, being mindful, being conscious, and putting thought to what you're saying also, because it all ultimately starts with the thought. Yeah, and thought is this key element of the mental body here. Yeah. So any doubts here before we move on to the next one?
I think we're good. I think it's very clear. And I think one of the things that I don't know why I assumed that they would be separate, but even though I kind of understood that, of course, there had to be some interconnectivity because, everything is related. But no, I like it. We don't actually have any questions on this stuff. So please continue. We're good.
All right. And so the last one of the four bodies that we spoke about is the spiritual body, right? And now this is one part which people kind of tend to confuse with religion. Yeah. The spiritual or the energetic self. And why I call it the energetic self is the spirit or the spiritual self, or as we know it as the higher being or the spirit, connecting to the divine self, connecting to the to this entire universe, where you feel one with the universe, where this entire thought of being, the unity consciousness that comes in from, right? And this I can also relate it to the Maslow's hierarchy need, the triangle that we have, Maslow's hierarchy. you know, you can relate it to that. What really happens is initially it is the physical needs, then you have the psychological needs where you have, you know, emotions and feelings and stuff like that. And later it comes to the self-actualization and self-realization, you know, where you feel a need to kind of connect to your higher self or kind of understand what is that your real purpose in life is. And that comes when you are really connected to with your deeper self, with your higher self. So what is a balanced state of being for the spiritual self? Well, somebody who is balanced spiritually would be very creative, would be very open, would be somebody who is very intuitive also, right? Because if you're connected to your higher self, obviously you're connected to this whole, to the whole universe out there, and you're one with the universe. So obviously you would have a lot of intuition that comes up for you. So that's a balanced state of being. And for somebody who is underbalanced, they would feel disconnected with their self. There's a lot of soul searching happening there. So even if you have, you know, you've achieved success in your life, you have a good life, but there still feels that something is missing out there. Something is there which doesn't make me feel whole, doesn't make me feel complete. So you may have, you know, you may be going to the gym and you may be having a healthy body, right? You may be having a good, happy life where there's not much stress and you're kind of settled in life and you feel happy and stuff like that. But then again, there is some part of you which you know, is seeking that one thing which wants to make you feel whole and complete. You still have that feeling that something is amiss, something is missing over there. And that is where you actually need to connect with your higher self. You need to connect with your soul to know what really is the soul's purpose. So that is a state where you are underbalanced. And, you know, you kind of put yourself into that victim of fate kind of a mentality, that I'm victim of fate and I cannot be a co-creator of my own destiny. I'm not created through my higher self. So that's a state of unbalance. And what is it that you, when you're overbalanced, is like when you have your, literally your head in your clouds and, you know, you feel that you're next to godliness and you kind of want to detach yourself from everything else. But hey, look, you're still living here. You're still present in this world. You still have to maintain that intra and interpersonal relationship. You still have your bills to pay, right? So you cannot kind of detach yourself completely and be in that state all the time. You need to be, again, keeping that balance. So you also have to do your soul searching. You also have to connect to your soul's higher purpose. And at the same time, also keep your feet on the ground, you know, so that you're also equally balanced in all the other areas that you need to be. And then what is the best way of keeping yourself balanced or keeping yourself spiritually balanced, I would say. And here it is, the practice of gratitude. You know, when you say gratitude, when you're really grateful for all things that are, when you see yourself as one with everything, because you know what we are made of, right? If you take a section of your organ and you kind of see the basic atomic particle, you would see an atom. And then we know that there are subatomic particles as well, which are called as quarks, right? And we know that. So, and it's the same with this table that I'm, it's the same with this pillow that I am on. It's the same with, you know, the glass that I'm holding. It's the same with the trees out there, everything out there. And when you have this realization that, oh my God, you know, it's all same, you know, what is really existence? So it's just that feeling of oneness that you have, a connection with the higher, the divinity, knowing that there is something that is kind of controlling all of it. Yeah. So that's how you do it. And just the feeling of being gratitude and grateful for all that there is. So this is about your spiritual body. And then again, all these four bodies together would make the complete whole. They are interconnected, interdependent on each other. And we actually have to balance it out to create that holistic wellness for us. Because even if one quadrant or one is a little bit of off balance, that's when, you know, you really don't feel whole and complete. Mm-hmm. You really don't feel the wellness in the real sense of the term.
I hear you on that, Shrigatha. I've got a question that just popped up. Verna's asking, do you mean spiritual in the sense of your higher self or spirituality in terms of belief of humanity or religion?
So I wouldn't say it's religious in any way. All right, it's not connected to religion in any way, but yes, spirituality is about being connected to your soul, to your higher self, right? Spirituality is about acknowledging that we are one with everything around us, that you and I and everything is actually the same. Because when you really break down us to the smallest fundamental particle that we are, we realize that it's all the same. Energy is, that is all there to it.
Okay. I hear you on that. I want to go back to gratitude, and we always talk about gratitude. We've had so many discussions about it. I want you to kind of quantify it for me. What would that the practice of gratitude look like, you know, at various times of my day? What's the action? What's the thing I'm going to do? What's the action thing I'm going to do that will enable me to get to that feeling of gratitude? You know, I would look, oh yeah, I just have gratitude. But walk me through a couple of examples. I mean, this is like the takeaway, so I can start implementing this in my life, you know, like that type.
Again, I would bring it back to the self, talk thingy, Ali. You know, because I said it's all interconnected. You know, ultimately, it's all about the thought, and it's all about what you're telling yourself. It's all about how you're interpreting things, right? So even if there's something that's happening, which you feel that it's not good for you at the moment, but just being grateful for that, telling yourself again, it's all about telling yourself at that point in time that, you know, no matter what, I'm grateful for whatever it is. Yeah. And just kind of having faith that it is all part of the divine scheme or divine plan of things, because we are not standalone. We are not standalone. We have a tiny, 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 tiny bit of this entire matrix of the scheme of things that's there. You know, and there is definitely a divine force which is guiding all of it. Come on. I mean, how do you explain the balance of all whatever is happening there? So being grateful is about, again, coming back to your self-talk. You know, a thought is where it all starts from. Self-talk is the things that you consciously choose to tell yourself, right? It's about the meaning that you're assigning to whatever is happening there. So being grateful is all, again, for me, coming back to your self-talk, consciously being aware of what are you talking to yourself at all times. How do you choose to see that situation, whatever is there? Being grateful is just that. It's not only about being grateful about things that are happening good in your life. Mm-hmm. It's about being grateful for even the things that are not going well in your life, right? And this reminds me of this beautiful Ho'oponopono prayer. A lot of people are now aware of it, but for those who are not, you know, this is again a beautiful exercise that you can do every morning, whenever you feel like, where they're just four simple sentences, and this brings in your forgiveness, your gratitude, everything. And we know that, you know, it's all based on intention. Our thoughts, you know, it all leads to that. It's all about the intention, the energy of intentions that you carry. It's all energetic. Ultimately, we are all energy at the end of the day, right? When we break ourselves up, what are we? We're just electrical charges all compacted together. And that is what the entire universe is, which is the same one thing at all. So the Ho'oponopono is it's a very beautiful Hawaiian prayer, which I practice with myself. And I always feel very nice when I do it. So it's like, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I love you. Yeah. And I just add a few more sentences here. So when I say I'm sorry, you know, please forgive me. So I say, okay, I forgive you. It's like, you need to forgive yourself also. Sometimes, you know, you hold the guilt. Oh my God, how could I be so stupid? Oh my God, how could I do something like this? You know, we kind of blame ourselves so much, right? So you're just going to also forgive yourself. So I'm sorry, kind of ask for forgiveness to all that is, the situations that are there in your life. And then, you know, I forgive you, life forgives you, all forgiveness is here, the universe forgives you. And then thank you for the forgiveness. And I love you, and all of love is here. I love you, life loves you, the whole of universe loves you. And you just feel so nice, ready to face another day, whatever there is. And then the gratitude is all about consciously choosing to tell yourself that all is well, no matter what, it is for your good.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. That's excellent.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a little aware of time. We have a little bit over 10 minutes left. So, you know, if you would like to kind of, bring it all together, that would be great. for our listeners?
Okay. So putting it all together, what we saw that, you know, the four bodies just focuses on the holistic approach of well-being and focusing on the fact that we are meant to be in a state of wellness, in a state of wholeness, right? And in a state of balance all the time. So the four bodies again emphasizes on the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual parts of us. Putting it all together, you know, putting it together as a whole, and then also emphasizing that each part is interconnected and equally important, and we need to balance it out equally. Because if it's not balanced, you know, if one is, you're putting more focus on one and the other one is out of tune, that's where you're creating the imbalance in your life. And imbalance is not the way nature works. Imbalance is definitely not the way the nature works. Now, nature is all about balance. And you being part of this entire, you know, universe, a small little tiny bit of this entire matrix of things, why shouldn't you also be balanced? You are meant to be balanced. You have to be in a state of balance if you really want to feel well and whole, you know, in the true sense of the word.
So you know, would I be correct in saying the strategy and the approach is that to kind of identify and, you know, be honest with yourself and evaluate all four of these and then try to kind of find that equal space between all of them and, you know, not to too much or too little of them, and then also understand how they're all interconnected and related also. And then I think that, as you rightfully said, kind of gives it a very holistic approach in terms of self-assessing, right? Because at the end of the day, all of this is, we're talking about us, and all of these variables quantify us. And how we're feeling and how we are in any given state. So I think that's great. Recommendations of how we can get more involved or more active. And can you also please share what you are doing and how the viewers can reach you, and, you know, like give me a little shout out for that also.
Okay. So like you said, Ali, we've got to be constantly evaluating ourselves. You know, we've got to be constantly retrospecting as to what it is or what areas of our life that we need to work on. And such is life. It will throw things at us. It will throw challenges at us. And there are going to be things that upset us or kind of throw us off balance. And it's all about, you know, being aware of where you're going off the hook and trying, you know, working on those areas and then kind of bringing the balance back in again. So I do this with me very often, wherein I would sometimes meditate to connect with my higher self. I would do be mindful of my physical being, being mindful of the food that I'm eating. I also work, you know, on clearing my energy centers. So that is also doing, because, you know, sometimes many people are not even aware of it. You just take care of your physical self, you have a bath with soap and water, you clean your skin, but what about the energetic center? So you've got to clean that as well very regularly. But just as your skin gathers the dirt and the grime throughout the day, so does your energy centers get blocked with a lot of, you know, negative entities that are there. Maybe your own internal emotional blocks that blocks it and kind of cuts it off. So taking care of your physical self is important. Taking care of your emotional self is very important, being in check. And like I said, that's the best way that I do, you know, I do a lot of work with myself. So I've done these kind of sessions where I work with people on all of these areas. And then, you know, whenever I have these little things coming up, these little emotions showing up, that's the exercise that I do for myself. And I always find a lot of relief. For bigger stuff, you know, because we are also conditioned and programmed in a way where you would have these major blocks coming in your way. So that's where you need to kind of get more deeper into it and then clear it for yourself. So that's what I do for myself with my other fellow, mates that I've learned this with. And I also work a lot with people. Then again, about your mental body, it's a lot about your self-talk. All right? It's a lot about sharpening your intellect also. Right. So you kind of how you kind of exercise your body, you kind of also exercise your mind and your brain. And also very, very important about the thoughts that you're having all the time, being very, very conscious about the way you're talking to yourself, because this is you know, very important, because whatever you're saying, whatever thoughts you're creating is creating your reality. What's happening here is happening here. And then again, the last one about, you know, connecting to your soul's purpose, you know, because once you're aligned to your soul's purpose, things feel so effortless. You know, you don't feel the pressure. You don't feel that, oh my God, what am I doing with myself? When you align yourself, when you start aligning yourself to your soul's purpose, and that's where you feel that life has become so much more joyful, so much more easier. Yeah. So yeah, that's what it is. And if you want to reach me, I also need to thank Mommy and Me Center, because this talk is happening in collaboration with Mommy and Me, and which is a center, a wellness center again at Jumeirah. And they really work with a lot of young mothers having small babies. So it's more for parents, the Mommy and Me Center. And I'm also working with them now as a visiting faculty or visiting consultant there once a week. So you can reach me through them, or you can reach me through my Insta handle, which is called Change with Renee.
Okay. That's absolutely fantastic. Guys, we'll share the contact info, of course, you know, in the little caption description areas once we get the IGTV posted. Shugufta, I just want to say thank you so much. It's so wonderful to have, you know, different perspectives and different insights. And, you know, this is exactly why we did what we did, and, you know, how to kind of bring it back to a very holistic approach. I think the perspective is fantastic. And I'm definitely sure that people are going to be reaching out to you guys. I'm not obviously not a mommy, but you know, the first time I became a father, I just remember the amount of stress and anxiety and uncertainty that I was under. And I can't even begin to imagine as a mother who has to physically endure, you know, child labor and birth also. So I think it's really, really great that there's actually a place where, you know, young mothers can go and then they can kind of, you know, have somebody to talk to, and, you know, kind of like, you need the support. You know, we always say it takes a village. It's not just for the child. It takes the village for the mother also, right? Everyone has to chip in and help out. So I think it's wonderful what Mommy and Me are doing. I think it's wonderful what you are also doing. Once again, thank you so much. I appreciate you having you, and hopefully we'll get you back again.
All right. Thank you very much, Ali. I really enjoyed being here, talking to you, to all of you. And I think there is a question I just saw pop up. Can you just say that?
Yes. Questions just popped up. How do you find your soul's purpose?
How do you find your soul purpose from Instagram? All right. So how do you find your soul purpose? Latifa, thank you so much for your question. All right. There is a process that I do with people which helps them connect to their soul purpose. Now, this is something that I've learned, and something that I practice myself with myself, which has actually given me direction in my life, you know, where I was not sure what would make me the happiest. And I've kind of discovered that. I've helped people discover it for themselves. So it's a kind of session that we do, which is focused on finding your soul's purpose. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, yeah. So once you kind of do that session, once it's called the soul purpose thingy. And, you know, once you understand what your soul really wants for you, you know, it just kind of, it becomes so easy to align yourself then to do the kind of work towards that. Because when you're doing that, when you're in alignment with your soul, when you're doing the work, which is in alignment with your higher self, you know, you're so much more happier. You feel so much more at ease, so much more open, so much more creative, so much more in flow with everything.
Great, great, great. Fantastic. Once again, thank you so much. Looking forward to having you back. Guys, stay tuned. Next week, again, we'll have another Tuesday Talks. Tomorrow, we have a Wellness Wednesday event happening. Take care, everybody. Stay blessed. Be safe. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
You too.